claims or damages received from any product advertised within this program. Revolution Radio, where information never sleeps.
It is sad to think that sooner or later those you love will do the same for you. And you may have thought it tragic, not to mention other adjectives, to think of all the weeping they will do. But don't you worry, no more ashes, no more sackcloth, and an armband made of black cloth will someday nevermore adorn a sleeve. For if the bomb that drops on you gets your friends and neighbors too, there'll be nobody left behind to grieve, and we will all go together when we go. What a comforting fact that is to know.
Rick.
Universal bereavement, an inspiring achievement. Yes, we all will go together when we go. We will all go together when we go. All suffused with an incandescent glow. No one will have the endurance to collect on his insurance. Lloyd's of London will be loaded when they go. We will all fry together when we fry. We'll be French fried potatoes by and by. There will be no more misery when the world is our rotisserie. Yes, we all will fry together when we fry. We will all bake together when we bake. There'll be nobody present at the wake. With complete participation in that grand incineration, nearly 3 billion hunks of well-done steak. We will all char together when we char. And let there be no moaning of the bar. Just sing out a te deum when you see that ICBM, and the party will be come as you are.
This is Jim Fetzer, your host on The Raw Deal. I have a wonderful guest today who's an expert in cryptocurrency, digital currency, Bitcoin, and the like, which is a mystery to most. So I thought it would be marvelous to feature him today. Plus, he resides in Washington, D.C., so he's very abreast of the currents taking place there now in the wake of the Virginia election, with which I began. So I'll take the first segment to relate some of the latest news developments, and then I'll bring in my guest after the break at the bottom of the hour. Here we have the Democrats having a meltdown, a real meltdown over their loss in Virginia, and blaming, guess what, blaming white voters. All Republicans voted in part knowing issues are what divide the country, dismissing an unserious racial divide being consistently promulgated by Democrats in the media. The left has increasingly indicated they have learned nothing from the results. A significant portion of analysis on left-leaning networks shows there's no blame for Biden's many failures or the Democrat Party's candidates' proposed agenda, which doesn't align with voters' values. It's not the economy. It's not inflation or supply chain concerns. It's not far-left educators brainwashing children, according to them. No. The real problem is the ignorant white voter. This is stunning. Here we have Julian Castro tweeting, Youngkin has shown Republicans they can launder dog whistles through huge unregulated platforms driving base turnout, even while distancing from Trump. Democrats need to better control the narrative with our own wedge issues and with a positive forward-thinking message. This idiotic response by the Democrats is only going to dig them deeper into a hole from which I believe they cannot extricate themselves, not just before the midterm in 2022, but the general election in 2024. The media, moreover, isn't exuberant about relinquishing their grip on the narrative that racism in America is rampant. They went with a race card almost immediately when it became clear Democrats were going to suffer crushing defeats in Virginia. Joy Reid, for example, was the biggest victim of white voters in the election, repeatedly lashing out at white parents and white voters, with parents voting against McAuliffe for his ill-advised comments about how parents shouldn't have a role in what schools teach their kids. Reid decided educational concerns were actually a racist dog whistle. This is ignoring the fact that Virginia's new lieutenant governor is a black woman. She's a marvelous person. Here we have a photograph of her holding an AR-15, and the question becomes, does this look like the face of white supremacy to you? She's challenged Joy Reid to a debate where she dismember him, her piece by piece. So, of course, she will decline the honor. Education, Joy Reid said, is code for white parents who don't like the idea of teaching about race. I mean, how bad is this? Reid didn't stop there. On her readout blog, a column blames Republicans for effectively messaging months of conservative attacks on non-white educators and denouncing lessons plans discussing racism and inequality. The headline also shows disdain for white voters. Republicans have hitched their political prospects to mostly white conservative anger at school officials. This is just colossal stupidity, but that's exactly what the Democrats have done for themselves. By the way, here's a map of the shift in margin from the 2020 to from the 2020 election to this election. And every single district shifted to the right. Every single district went more Republican. The Youngkin campaign discovered this contingent of angry, willfully ignorant white people was a key ingredient needed to elect a GOP governor in Virginia for the first time since 2009, she writes. And I got to say, Joy Reid is a very suitable target because she, in my opinion, is among the foremost propagandists. She's pure disinformation. She's unbelievable the way she is abusive of the Republicans, of white people, of conservatives from her perch on MSNBC. She's not alone there, but she is particularly outstanding in this regard as an example, an exemplar of propaganda at work. The problem with the white voters are to blame for the election narrative, however, continues the political insider, is that it isn't even vaguely true. Yes, white women, according to results, did shift toward the Republican candidate, but they also helped Biden win Virginia just 12 months ago. In other words, there are a lot of the same people. Somehow they weren't racist in 2020 when they cast their votes, but they are now. Here we have Virginia 2020, white women, 50% for Biden, 49% for Trump. Virginia 2021, the gubernatorial, white women, 57% for Youngkin, 43% for McAuliffe, a 15-point swing to the GOP. And of course, it's because this isn't really got to do with white women or white men. It has to do with parents. It has to do with parents who were outraged. Were white voters simply pushing their own racist politics by delivering a victory to conservative Winsome Sears, who will become the first female and black woman to hold the office of lieutenant governor? Were white voters being racist when they helped propel Republican Jason Mayers to victory in his race for attorney general, becoming the first Latino to hold the office? My God, with a white governor and a black lieutenant governor and a lieutenant attorney general, this should have been a perfect image for the Democrats. They should have reflected that. But of course, they're not doing it, because they're Republicans. It shows, it just puts the lie to all of the propaganda you get from the Democratic Party about inclusivity and diversity. The Republicans ran a brilliant campaign focused on issues that mattered to the people of Virginia. McAuliffe repeatedly talked about Trump and racism. And if you took away Trump and racism, he had nothing left. Now, Reader Supported News is a left-wing publication. They're having trouble maintaining their funding. I think the Democrats are falling further and further out of favor. But here, Sarah Jones, in New York, they're republishing an article by Sarah Jones from New York Magazine. The Hillary playbook does not work. Terry McAuliffe's failure to capture another term is ultimately easy to comprehend. The state party is loyal to the former governor and lined up behind his candidacy early. For this reason, the nomination was always his to lose. Where there's an overwhelmingly greater Democrat registration in Virginia by at least a million than Republican. But the party had set a trap for itself. Its preferred candidate was well known and not particularly popular. Had Glenn Youngkin been a different kind of Republican? Again, Citinelli defeated by McAuliffe in 2013, the Democrat would have had a decent chance. But this is not 2013. Youngkin ran an intelligent campaign. While he whipped white suburbanites into a frenzy over parental choice in public schools, he kept Donald Trump at a distance. He figured out how to tap into racial grievance politics as Trump did, while putting a more palatable public face on his right-wing politics. And McAuliffe had no effective response. Though the Democrat ran on issues like a $15 minimum wage, he tried repeatedly to yoke Youngkin to Trump. A vote for McAuliffe was a vote against Trump, or so he wanted the state suburbanites to believe. To white rural voters like those in my native Southwest Virginia, the linkage of Youngkin to Trump likely proved attractive, and I believe it's conceivable McAuliffe may have done Youngkin a favor. To recap, Virginia Democrats united behind an unpopular Democrat who spent years in public life, ran on not being Trump while failing to offer voters a compelling alternative vision. That strategy didn't work in 2016 when the candidate was Hillary Clinton. There was no way it was going to work now. While it's arguably true that GOP remains a party of Trump and that a reactionary lurks behind Youngkin's polite facade, reality does not necessarily dictate voter behavior. Moreover, McAuliffe didn't actually have to try to convince anyone that Youngkin is a reactionary at all. He just had to explain what he, in contrast to Youngkin, would offer to voters. And since he's already served a term as governor, it shouldn't have been difficult, but it was beyond him. Instead of running a version of Hillary's failed 2016 campaign, McAuliffe should have barred from Joe Biden, who in 2020 ran to Hillary's left and emphasized economic issues on the campaign trail. Even then, the fact Trump was sitting president helped carry Biden to a narrow victory, I say as an aside, which we know was stolen in the most massive theft of an election in American history. And McAuliffe didn't have that advantage. His margins were always going to be narrower than Biden's, with significantly less room for error. That McAuliffe didn't have the political skill to navigate such turbulent water in a state he's already served as governor reflects on him and his enablers, not the left, not even Biden. The Democratic Party and its state affiliates are going to have to remember Trump is not on the ballot or in power. They cannot hope that voter antipathy for him extends to the entire Republican Party in perpetuity, nor is centrism and the suppression of the party's entire left flank a guaranteed path to victory. The party has to figure out what it stands for apart from its contrast to Trump and Republicans. The best time to do so was years ago. The next best time is now. Remember, that was written from a left point of view by someone who is wholeheartedly in favor of the Democrats. Now, here we had a fascinating critique from James Carville, who's been objecting to wokeness and predicting it was going to lead to catastrophe, which has now occurred. Don Lemon disagrees with Carville on wokeness, calls defund the police a stupid slogan, however. CNN anchor Don Lemon said Friday he disagreed with political strategist James Carville's assessment that Democrats' weak performance and losses in state elections was due to stupid wokeness. However, Lemon said he agreed with Carville that the Democrats' use of defund the police was unproductive. Look, I have a lot of respect for James Carville, and I understand the sentiment of what he's saying. I don't necessarily agree with all of it. Defund the police? I agree more than 100% with him. Defund the police was a stupid slogan, should never have been brought under the political spotlight into the political realm. It was an activist term, Lamont added. But as far as being woke and wanting equality for people who are in underserved communities or for minorities or for women, I don't necessarily agree with that. Lamont acknowledged Democrats had a tendency to be preachy and assume that others were on the same political spectrums and ideology as themselves, but noted, I do understand the frustration of progressives when it comes to equality. Earlier this week, Carvel blamed Democrats' surprisingly weak performance and losses in states like Virginia and New Jersey on stupid wokeness during an interview on the PBS NewsHour. What went wrong is just stupid wokeness. Don't just look at Virginia, New Jersey. Look at Long Island. Look at Buffalo. Look at Minneapolis. Even look at Seattle, Washington. I mean, this defund the police lunacy, this take Abraham Lincoln's name off of stools, I mean, people see that. It's just really, it has a suppressive effect all across the country on Democrats. Some of these people need to go to a woke detox center or something. They're expressing language that people just don't use, and there's backlash and a frustration at that. Democrat candidate, former Virginia Governor Terry McAuliffe, lost to Republican Glenn Youngkin despite multiple campaign events with high-profile Democrats like President Biden, Stacey Abrams, even Barack Obama, all for naught. In New Jersey, Democrat Governor Phil Murphy barely won re-election. Another worrying sign Democrat support is waning. Let me add, that one was put over the top for Murphy by old-fashioned Democrat-style politics, bringing in votes by the bushel basket to put him over the top. It was not an honest election. Carvel continues, we got to change this and not be about changing dictionaries and changing laws. These faculty lounge people who sit around mulling about I don't know what, they're not working. Meanwhile, we have OSHA giving workers until January 4th to comply with Biden's COVID vaccine mandate. This is catastrophic for the country, in my opinion. The Occupational Safety and Health Administration issued today an emergency temporary standard giving employers with more than 100 employees affecting 84 million workers until January 4th to comply with Biden's COVID vaccine mandate or face fines of up to $136,532. This is incredible. Covered employers must develop, implement, and enforce a mandatory COVID vaccination policy with an exception for employers who instead adopt a policy requiring employees to either be vaccinated or undergo regular COVID testing and face wearing a mask. And by the way, they have to pay for those tests themselves. Employees who choose not to get vaccinated must foot the bill for tests. There are no exceptions to the vaccine mandate for those who have natural immunity, which of course reflects the absurdity of this from a medical scientific point of view. We have study after study showing natural immunity is far stronger, more robust, and long-enduring than these vaccines, where they're now talking about having to repeatedly give vaccinations. It's going to be an agenda that extends forever. And think of the fabulous profits that Moderna and Pfizer and AstraZeneca are going to make in the process. Keep in mind that OSHA rule coming out is not a mandate for a vaccine. A White House official said, employers can put in a mandatory vaccine program or these other route of vaccination for those who choose to testing and masks for those who don't. But of course, we know this is a form of coercion. This is a violation of informed consent for an experimental medical procedure. This is grossly violative of the Nuremberg Code, which requires everyone who is subjected to an experimental medical procedure must have informed consent. They know all the benefits and all the risks. And of course, they aren't even talking about the risks. And they're claiming there are no long-term risks when we haven't any long-term studies, just to show the hypocrisy, deceit, and deception coming from the administration. Meanwhile, it appears there are going to be a host of lawsuits to oppose it. Texas Attorney General Kent Paxton announced plans in a tweet to sue Biden once his illegal, unconstitutional regulation hits the Federal Register. South Dakota's Governor Kristi Noem announced her state will join the lawsuit against Biden's mandates. Missouri Attorney General Eric Schmidt announced he will file a lawsuit too. We will be on file first thing tomorrow morning to halt this illegal and constitutional attempt by the Biden administration and the federal government to impose its will on thousands of Missouri businesses and millions of Missourians. Missouri will not roll over. We will not back down. We will file suit imminently. And I say good for them. And meanwhile, they're emphasizing putting this puppet out there who's not the real Joe Biden. Let me guarantee for you, I have examined this issue so thoroughly. This is an actor. This is a body double. This is not Joe Biden. His eye color changed. James Wood, the actor, was the first to notice. His ears are different. More tellingly, the shape of the skull is different. I have documented this a dozen different ways. We even have a pharmacist who's used to routinely comparing signatures who noticed early on that the new guy's signature is completely different than the old guy's signature. The way he interacts with Jill is also completely different. With the real Joe Biden, they were always hand in hand, arm in arm. She was beaming. Jill clearly loved the real Joe. Joe would have this shit-eating smile on his face constantly, one of his trademarks. When she's with this new guy, they're separated. They're not hand in hand. They're not arm in arm. She looks really concerned, like they're going to be found out. He's not smiling or anything else. It's amazing. He's good at reading a teleprompter. He has no comprehension of the meaning of the words he's using. This is a patsy president. And they're talking about the massive fines they plan. Remember, when he was running for president, he said he was opposed to mandates and there wouldn't be any. But now it's precisely the opposite. The White House has also warned healthcare facilities the government will terminate them from Medicare and Medicaid programs as further punishment if they do not comply with the mandate. This is hardball. My assessment, this is because the Rothschild banking industry, which appears to be spearheading this whole thing through the World Economic Forum, whose director and founder, Klaus Schwab, is himself a Rothschild, is seeking thereby to take control of the entirety of planet Earth, is going to be unrelenting here. They're trying to get everybody vaxxed because they don't want there to be a control group of the unvaccinated who can stand to reveal that the people who are dying right and left are all those who have been vaccinated, and those who are surviving and thriving are those who are unvaxxed, which I guarantee 100% is going to be what's taking place. It's already taking place now. I mean, for God's sake, look at this. The World Health Organization has a vaccine, adverse effects database of over 2 million since a jab was introduced. The year before, 2,000. So there's been a 1,000-fold increase in adverse effects once they began using these vaccinations. And before the year before with 2,000, it was only 87. And before that, one or two. So we're getting more adverse effects from all from the jab than from all the use of all the vaccines America has ever employed in history. 70% of those, by the way, adverse effects are in females. And I'm convinced this is because it's an anti-fertility. It's a sterility-inducing movement. But it's also a death jab. Remember, Sherry Tenpenny has described these mRNA vaccines as perfectly designed killing machines. So in their the genocidal globalists are simultaneously seeking to reduce the birth rate and dramatically increase the death rate. Meanwhile, we have an interesting development from the Durham investigation of Russiagate. The top Steele dossier source has been arrested for lying to the FBI. U.S.-based Russian analyst Igor Jenchenko, whom the New York Times referred to as the Steele dossier's primary researcher, was arrested Thursday on 5 counts of lying to the FBI. The development comes as part of a special counsel, John Durham's probe into the origins of the Trump-Russia collusion. Durham, of course, was appointed special counsel last year by the Trump administration to continue the investigation without interference from Biden, and he appears to be producing results. In a now unsealed charging document, Durham's office alleges that in 2017, Danchenko knowingly made false statements to federal investigators about conversations he had with sub-sources while the FBI was interviewing him about his role in collecting information for ex-British spy Christopher Steele, who was paid by the Democrats to investigate links between Trump and Russia and to manufacture a dossier, which was a total piece of fiction. Axios has reported some of the false information in the Steele dossier that came from Danchenko was later used to obtain a surveillance warrant against former Trump campaign aide Carter Page, and we know it goes from there. According to the AP, the indictment claims Danchenko misled the FBI by denying a relationship with a public relations executive and longtime Democrat operative and supporter of Trump's 2016 opponent, Hillary Clinton, when he had, in fact, anonymously sourced one of his allegations to that person. I believe this is going to cause great trouble for the Democrats, the problem being it's not happened in a timely fashion. I was following this at the time and made many reports that Russiagate was an elaborate hoax. I even published a book about it, exposing the Russia hoax. And it's very clear that Durham is simply playing catch up with what many of us already knew from way back when. We're about to hit the break, and after that, I'll bring in my featured guest from Washington, D.C., an expert on crypto and digital currency. We'll be right back with my guest.
Great. Great list of topics.
Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. We'll be right back after this message.
Management would like to take a moment to thank the listeners and hosts for all their support that has made Revolution Radio one of the biggest platforms for free speech in an ever-growing dark world of censorship. Unfortunately, this platform for free speech has never been free. We need the support of the people. It is the people like you, yes, you, that keeps the station in the front lines of the battle against tyranny and oppression. Please help support Revolution Radio so free speech will not be silenced in a world that seems to be going deaf to the real truth. With your support, we will be able to become an even bigger pillar of light in a dark world.
Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the planet. Revolution Radio.
Hey, everyone. It's Barbara Jean Lindsay, the Cosmic Oracle. If you have questions about your past lives or future plans, need answers from the cosmos about your love life or career, or just want to keep your finger on the pulse of the planet, check out my show, The Cosmic Oracle, here on Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com.
Was it a conspiracy? Did you know that the police in Boston were broadcasting, "This is a drill, this is a drill," on bullhorns during the marathon? that the Boston Globe was tweeting that a demonstration bomb would be set off during the marathon for the benefit of bomb squad activities, and that one would be set off in 1 minute in front of the library, which happened as the Globe had announced. Peering through the smoke, you could see bodies with missing arms and legs, but there was no blood. The blood only showed up later and came out of a tube. They used amputee actors and a studio-quality smoke machine. Don't let yourself be played. Check out And Nobody Died in Boston Either. Available at moonrockbooks.com. That's moonrockbooks.com.
Join Revolution Radio every Wednesday, 8 p.m. Eastern Time on Studio B for Momentary Zen with host Zen Garcia at freedomslips.com, the People Station.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates.
You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
My special guest today reminded me when I invited him for today that the 5th of November is Guy Fawkes Day, when there was the alleged gunpowder plot to blow up the House of Lords in England that actually led to the establishment of the Anglican Communion and great criticism and separation from the Catholic Church, which appears to have been among the earliest false flags of which we can provide thorough documentation. I did an interview yesterday with Nick Kohlerstrom from the UK, who's one of the leading experts on false flags in the world, which you can find on my BitChute channel, Jim Fetzer. Check it out. Nick Kohlerstrom on the gunpowder plot. My guest, Rick Shattuck, is not only an expert on cryptocurrency and digital forms of money, Bitcoin and the like, but also resides in Washington. So I'm particularly eager to begin with Rick's views, his take on the reaction in Washington and the Democratic response to the extent to which he knows it to be the case in his vicinity, to which my dear colleague Giuseppe Vaffangulo refers to as the District of Criminals. Rick, welcome. Welcome to The Raw Deal.
Well, thank you very much. And remember that 5th of November. It's a great privilege to talk with you again on Guy Fawkes Day. And this is about, I think, about the sixth interview I've had since 2012, when we talked about critical thinking, open-mindedness, JFK, and the Transcendental Meditation Technique. And then we talked about Trump on the campaign trail in June 2016. And then about digital currency in May of 2017, when Bitcoin was about 2,500. And I sent you some to establish a Coinbase account. Bitcoin's now up today to about $61,000. That's up 24 times. And Bitcoin was about 240 when I was mining it with machines. It's impractical now because there's such intense competition to create Bitcoins in your own home. But that was fun. And then we saw each other at the big event for a JFK conference in 2018. And I'm here for a follow-up on our Bitcoin discussion and the other coins, which may do better than Bitcoin if they are electricity efficient. Bitcoin uses tremendous amounts of electricity. So does Ethereum. So it's my view, and many in the Digital Currency Association here in Washington, D.C. It's a beautiful sunny day in Washington. And the Democrats are confused about how Virginia lost an election. I also have a home, also thanks to Bitcoin and digital currency, in Fairfield, Iowa. To get a full-size home, you have to go out to the suburbs of D.C. So I've gone out 1,000 miles to Fairfield, Iowa, where it's quite a different atmosphere regarding, it's a Republican state. We have a great governor there, Kim Reynolds, who has said no vaccine mandates. And in Fairfield, Iowa, people are going to church without masks. And but in D.C., it's quite a different story. Mayor Bowser is stressing that everybody must get vaccinated. And so it's nice to have a bit of city life and country life. So, Dr. Fetzer, you're in the Midwest, and there seems to be more common sense away from the big city. Well,
the Democrats seem to have gone full-blown lunatic, Rick. That's all I can say. It's just insane. Uh-huh. And even when James Carville tries to knock some sense into their head, it's pretty obvious they're going to have none of it. They think they are true believers. They are zealots and ideologues, and they think they have privileged access to the truth. And anyone who disagrees with them is a numbskull or corrupt. It's appalling.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's just sad. So the Republicans, in my view, stand more for common sense. So a party has to align with common sense. What is good for human evolution to get support of nature and to get votes? And they're just out of touch. It's not right to do things like defund the police. The only people who want to defund the police are the criminals. So good law-abiding people who want to have a safe environment to have a breeding ground for kids and to grow the human race in the evolutionary direction. Yeah, so that's great that we have Glenn, now is governor-elect. And in many ways, he was like Trump, being an outsider, businessman, tall person, is a physical... of physical appearance, of being a leader. People look up to him, literally. So I think there will be great things for Virginia. I have had an office in Virginia, Arlington, Virginia, but I've been working mostly, virtually now, as many people are. So I didn't really need the office. And we have our office on K Street, but most of the time I am working from home or remote. So if there's any positive thing that's come from COVID, it's gotten people over the idea that we have to go to meet in person. And it opens the door to using these Zoom and other methods of meeting remotely, including this call. Years ago, I would come to your studio to be interviewed, and now I can do it from home. And thanks to Bitcoin, I've had the pleasure of working with founding organizations such as the Digital Currency Association, Many of the organizations I fund are on truthjustice.org, and including the Association for 9/11 Truth Awareness. We provide an office and mailing address for Aneta.org, and the Association for John Kennedy Ambush Truth, AJKAT.org, another K Street organization. K Street is the street for associations in D.C. They have one for every occupation or cause from A to Z, from airline pilots to zoologists. Also the O.J. Simpson Truth Group, the American Moon Association, which is promoting Make America First on the Moon Again. <That's>... Also the National Association for the Advancement of White People, around the corner from NAACP. So we're all colored people, but we have good relations with them. I've gone over to shake their hands and met with their DC director to agree that every race should promote themselves. You should not feel guilty about how you were born, what skin color you have, what have you. It's our right and our duty to be the best that we can be for our race. And different races are good at different things. Certainly, African Americans excel in professional sports. Most of the millionaires in the National Football League and basketball league, NBA, are black. That's great. And they help us tremendously in the Olympics, the track events, and areas of music. On the other hand, the whites are very, very good at inventing. So one association we have, the NAAWP, just reminds people that most of the inventions that we see in the home were invented by white men. From the light bulb, you got Henry Ford inventing the way of mass-producing automobiles. You got garage door openers invented by Clarence Johnson, white man, American. The latex paint invented by Sherwin and Williams, the Sherman Williams Company. Just look around. Cell phones, camera phones, remote control, TVs, Netflix, Google, Facebook, Amazon, all white men. We're very, very good inventors. And if I dare say, mostly men as well. So I'm also helping the menassociation.org, which is to fight back against the demonization of men. And we've done a lot of great things through history, and the politicians who introduced the legislation for the amendment for women to vote were men, Republican men, by the way. And Republican men have also stood up against slavery. So we deserve some credit for that. And in fact, United America had slavery from 1619 to 1865. So that's about 46 years, and then stopped slavery, put an end to it. So the white race was the race that stopped slavery. Wow, there's still slavery going on today in Africa, especially in Libya. So slavery has been going on in Africa since when human beings were evolved. They said they first evolved in Africa, and sometimes someone was forcing some other person to work for him without pay. So that was slavery. So slavery was founded in Africa and still goes on today. So we just remind people, and there's a website, stopafricanslavery.com. StopAfricanSlavery.com. You can sign the petition, and let's put an end to this practice that's going on for like 4,000 years. But while you were speaking before, there are a few topics that came up. You know, one of those was the, you know, demonization of whites. So when people ask me about slavery, I say, well, what about the slavery still going on in Africa? Let's talk about, let's end that before talking about what already ended 150 years ago. So, but back to the topic of digital currency. It is actually benefiting from Biden's and the Democrats' huge spending spree. They have a $3.5 trillion budget they want to pass. And it's bad for the U.S. dollar. I feel sad that when we see Bitcoin and digital currency going up, that means that the dollar is going down in purchasing power. It's getting weaker. And it's been a benefit for the U.S. government to be able to print money from nothing. Imagine if you could just print any money you want and then buy whatever military hardware you need. But those days will end if the government, particularly the Democrats, misuse that power. Because soon it'll go the way of the Zimbabwe dollar. They actually have trillion-dollar bills there to buy bread with. So I'm for America first. You know, I'm happy that Bitcoin is going up, but I'm not happy that the dollar is going down. And that's being spent on very wasteful things. You know, paying people to not work. It's a ridiculous idea. And it's sad that billions of dollars of military hardware went to the Taliban in Afghanistan. You know, Joe Biden has been a failure. You know, America's not lost many wars. It's debatable whether, you know, you could call Vietnam a war or not, but it wasn't a victory. But this surrender and escape from Afghanistan was unnecessary and shameful. So we lost quite a lot by Biden stealing the presidency. And I do agree with you that the only way he's in the White House now is because of the manipulation of the votes and the voting machines and possibly, you know, hacking by China on these machines, which some of them were made in China. So hopefully with these new elections, we're on guard. We see what they will do, what the Democrats will do, even barring poll watchers from being able to see what the poll counter is doing. I submitted a suggestion to the Republican Party in Iowa and D.C. to have cameras. There's no reason that with technology nowadays that even if there's a pandemic, you can also have, you can always have a camera on a pole a few feet away from the vote counter. So that could be your poll counter, poll watcher on a pole, pointing at the camera to record whatever is done. It doesn't have to be on the internet or anything like that, because there shouldn't be any internet in the polling places. So when we find out who the American public really wants to elect, I'm confident that we'll see more and more conservatives and Republicans getting elected fairly. So another organization that Bitcoin and Ethereum have helped me to fund is Aneta.org, the Association for 9/11 Truth Awareness. And we've reached out to Richard Gage, who has been sadly fired by the architects and engineers for 9/11 Truth, just for talking about, you know, saying his views about COVID and whether he feels that it's all it's cracked up to be. So they fired him. And so he has been on his own, and we invite him to help participate in ANETA. We at the Association for 9/11 Truth Awareness fund the annual 9/11 Physics Debate. So the 8th debate is coming up on Einstein's birthday in March. It's also called Pi Day because it's 3.14, March 14, 3.14, which are the first digits of Pi, which is 3.14159265358979, and so on. So let me get back to the digital currency topic. Good place to go if you want to see what coins are selling for is coinmarketcap.com. CoinMarketCap, so it's short for CoinMarketCapitalization.com, and you'll see a list of the top coins. And Bitcoin's up at the top, followed by Ethereum, which is also at an all-time high recently, and above 4,000. Today's $4,400. So it's an amazing appreciation. Since 2015 is when Ethereum started. You know, at close to like pennies. And the appreciation in digital currency is just amazing, you know, faster than any kind of investment asset. You know, Bitcoin started at, you know, near basically zero in 2009. And the first purchase of something using Bitcoin was pizza, with two pizzas with 10,000 bitcoins. And the guy who bought the pizza with the bitcoins probably wishes he had held on to those 10,000 bitcoins, because that would be, you know, 10,000 times 61,000. That would be quite a lot. Yeah, it'd be 610 million. Wow. So now, did we miss out on those things? I think not. I think the listeners can feel that maybe good that they didn't participate in a lot of wasting electricity. New coins that are coming out include Cardano and Solana. So Cardano has a trading symbol ADA. Solana is a trading symbol SOL. And those are still, like Cardano's still under $2 per coin. Solana is about $200 per coin. So now you don't have to get the whole coin. Like even with Bitcoin, even though it's 61,000, you don't have to come up with 61,000 to buy a Bitcoin. You can always buy a part, you know, a tenth of a Bitcoin, a hundredth of a Bitcoin, a thousandth, even a, you know, a millionth of a Bitcoin. The denominations go out to 8 decimal places, so 0.0000001. And the smallest unit of a Bitcoin is called a Satoshi, which is named after the founder, Satoshi Nakamoto, which is a pseudonym for, I believe it's pretty clear now that it was invented, it sounds like a Japanese name, but the Bitcoin was invented and first used in America. And like many things that I mentioned before, were invented by Americans in America. Nicholas Szabo made several other coins before Bitcoin, and they're very similar. The writing is very similar. The first recipient was Hal Finney, a Caltech graduate, who sadly passed away from a neurological disease, but he was the first to receive some Bitcoin. And Ethereum, also invented in America, Vitalik Buterin is the inventor of Ethereum. And it does seem that most of the innovations that we see are being done by American white men. Boy, we're so bad. But this is world-changing technology that will help everyone of all races, colors, men and women, to save ourselves from the ravages of inflation. We're seeing prices of gas go up, food go up, airline tickets. So I would encourage your listeners to investigate digital currency. We have a website that is devoted to helping people, users helping users for free. There's no membership dues because the Bitcoin's in digital currency is doing so well. We don't have to charge dues. So it's the Digital Currency Association .org, also .com, the Digital Currency Association, also Digital Coin Association. So we are considering changing, our board is discussing possibly changing to Digital Coin Association, because not all coins are intended to be for currency, which is the exchange going to stores and buying things. And some coins, even Bitcoin, it was envisioned in the beginning to be digital cash. You could go to a store and buy something with Bitcoin. And we did as an organization, and our local chapters, such as the Fairfield, Iowa chapter of the Digital Currency Association, FIDCA, Fairfield, Iowa Digital Currency Association.
Rick,
one of our many,
Rick,
many
this has been so wonderful, so wonderful. We'll continue with Rick Shattuck after this break.
Was it a conspiracy? Did you know that the police in Boston were broadcasting, "This is a drill, this is a drill," on bullhorns during the marathon? That the Boston Globe was tweeting that a demonstration bomb would be set off during the marathon for the benefit of bomb squad activities? And that one would be set off in 1 minute in front of the library, which happened as the Globe had announced. Peering through the smoke, you could see bodies with missing arms and legs, but there was no blood. The blood only showed up later and came out of a tube. They used amputee actors and a studio-quality smoke machine. Don't let yourself be played. Check out And Nobody Died in Boston Either. Available at moonrockbooks.com. That's moonrockbooks.com.
If you think for 1 second that the Capitol will ever treat us fairly, you are lying to yourselves. Because we know who they are and what they do. This is what they do, and we must fight back. You can torture us and bomb us. Fire is catching. And if we burn, you burn with us.
Good evening.
Are you awake yet? I hope. We
We've tried for years and years to use passive resistance and loud voices to make a change. The time is over. Your governments around the world have no other goal than to decimate your entire existence at the hands of the bankers and the elites. The war is coming, and it's your choice to decide if you want to be a warrior or a victim. Denial is not a choice anymore. Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the planet. Not giving up. Revolution Radio.
Even the government admits that 9/11 was a conspiracy. But did you know that it was an inside job? That Osama had nothing to do with it? That the Twin Towers were blown apart by a sophisticated arrangement of mini or micro nukes? That Building 7 collapsed 7 hours later because of explosives planted in the building? Barry Jennings was there. He heard them go off and felt himself stepping over dead people. The U.S. Geological Survey conducted studies of dust gathered from 35 locations in Lower Manhattan and found elements that would not have been there had this not been a nuclear event. Ironically, that means the government's own evidence contradicts the government's official position. 9/11 was brought to us compliments of the CIA, the neocons of the Department of Defense, and the Mossad. Don't let yourself be played. Read America Nuked on 9/11. Available at moonrockbooks.com. That's moonrockbooks.com.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and freedomslips.com, its staff, or affiliates.
You're listening to Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
Well, Rick, I got to say, I'm so impressed with your thoughtful discourse about such a wide range of subjects. I do want you to continue. I think this is simply wonderful. Please persevere.
Well, thanks. You know, the one of the sites I was reading from that lists the over 200 inventions by mostly American men. Is that menassociation.com, and then click on articles, and you'll see house inventions. So you could just go around the house, batteries, then by Louis Urey of Union Carbide, fire alarms. Even the tampon was invented by a man, Dr. Earl Haas. And baby products, Johnson & Johnson. Actually, the companies Johnson & Johnson & Johnson, there were three brothers, Robert, James, and Edward Johnson, that also invented the vaccine, their company anyway, the plunger, the toothpaste, refrigerator, ironing board, all these things that the modern American housewife can use. Mostly invented by American men. So one of the many causes that are under the umbrella of truthjustice.org. Also, the James Fetzer Legal Defense Fund. So how is that going, Dr. Fetzer?
Oh, well, I'm benefiting from contributions from many, for which I'm enormously grateful. And, you know, I'm now engaged in several different suits seeking to intervene, for example, in two different suits in Connecticut, one of which is led by Sandy Hook fake parents, Donna Soto, who, interestingly, the same woman is playing the role of Donna Soto, the mother of Victoria Soto, has played the mother of Heather Heyer, Susan Bro, in Charlottesville. It's embarrassing how bad this gets. There's also a suit against Alex Jones where I'm seeking to interview because the parties aren't addressing the crucial question in any of these suits as to whether anybody died at Sandy Hook. In other words, they're just taking for granted as a premise that the official narrative of the shooting is authentic. And I'm pointing out, just as a hook, you know, the massive evidence I have, including, of course, the book itself, Nobody Died at Sandy Hook, originally published in 2015, second edition 2016, where I brought together 13 experts, including six current or retired PhD professors, where we established a school had been closed by 2008. It was loaded with asbestos and other biohazards, damaged by a hurricane. There even turns out to have been a flood in the area in 2007, of which we were unaware at the time of publishing, but further damaged the building and made it uninhabitable for that there were no students there, that it was a two-day FEMA exercise presented as mass murder to promote gun control, where one of our contributors, Paul Preston, who himself as a school administrator had supervised active shooter drills, reached out to his contacts in the Obama Department of Education, all of whom confirmed to him it had been a drill, that no students had been harmed, and that was done to promote gun control. So I make those points, and that the FBI's consolidated crime report for 2012 shows that the intersection for Newtown, of which Sandy Hook is a subdivision, and non-negligent homicide and murder, the number zero, which of course is preposterous if there was this mass shooting in Sandy Hook, and offer some of the examples, such as that the photograph taken by the Newtown B photographer Shannon Hicks, it seems to show a police official or other safety leading a string of about 15 kids to safety, was staged, because we have a second photograph, which he's also acknowledged having taken, where you have the kids in a different sequence and where there are 8-10 parents there standing around with their arms in their pockets, arms folded, just casually looking on while the official rearranges the kids to get a better shot, and pointing out that the official report about Sandy Hook by the Dansbury State's Attorney Stephen Sadinsky III is an abject failure because it fails to establish a causal connection between the alleged shooter, Adam Lanza, and the victims he's supposed to have shot, his mother on the one hand, whether his fingerprints were not on the .22 caliber rifle with which that crime was supposed to have been committed, nor could they match any of the 150 purported slugs they found in the classroom to the AR-15 he's supposed to have used. So that there's no case to be made that anyone, died at Sandy Hook. And yet they're proceeding with these lawsuits, which includes yet a third where I'm intervening in the bankruptcy for Remington lawsuit, where it's very strange, Rick. It's very strange, Rick. But both parties are just willing to move forward on the assumption the official narrative were true, and are opposing my intervention when I, I'm in the position to bring some truth, a factual basis to these legal cases. But then, of course, I'm also in the process of appealing the way in which they savaged me in a circuit court here in Madison, Wisconsin, when I was pro se and grossly violated all the protocols for summary judgment, where I even had the reports from two forensic document experts that the four different versions of the death certificate that I introduced as evidence were all fake. All of them were fake. And yet I was being sued for alleging that one of the four, which had been circulated by the plaintiff himself, was fake. And the judge went ahead and just ruled when it had to go to a jury, Rick. I'm sure summary judgments are only appropriate if there are no disputed facts. And in this case, the most fundamental fact was in dispute.
That was Lenny, right?
So, yes.
Well, it's sad but true that we have to keep sandyhookjustice.org, you know, those who are hosting it, are in Russia. In America, the land of the free, it's difficult to host a website. So sandyhookjustice.org has all the, you know, the points that Dr. Fetzer mentioned and a link to his generous free book, that No One Died in Sandy Hook. So check that out. And VK.com is like Russia's Facebook. And they, you can post information there. I have a song there to the tune of Santa Claus is Coming to Town. It's Sandy Hook is Conning Newtown, which summarizes the points that show that the Sandy Hook so-called shooting was a hoax. So hopefully we'll be able to host these sites in America, but thanks to the World Wide Web, we can host it wherever they value freedom of speech. And at this time, apparently they value it more in Russia, at least for Americans to speak out on things that are, well, it's not so complimentary about America that the American people can be hoaxed by their government. So we'll keep it up. So that's another website that
I was unaware of VK. Tell me more about VK. I'm there right now. This looks very intriguing, Rick.
Yeah, it's very much like Facebook. You know, you can post and share with your friends. And I've put videos about Sandy Hook, 9/11, JFK, moon landing, Obama's birth certificate, without ever getting banned or having any of those videos blocked. So I love it. And it works pretty well. it's a Russian website.
Isn't that ironic? Isn't that ironic?
And some other services I use, a bitchute.com. BITCHUTE is also very good. You can post something there and not lose sleep over whether it's going to be there the next day. Very sadly and surprisingly, YouTube blocked the channel for the Digital Currency Association. So we used to have youtube.com/Digital Currency Association, and we were putting mostly our own content and nothing controversial, and trying to get YouTube to reconsider by tweeting their development team, but to no avail so far. So they seem to be wanting to suppress digital currency, but it won't work. You know, China has tried to suppress the use of Bitcoin in their country, and it hasn't worked. It's one of the major producers of Bitcoin, most of the Bitcoin mining machines. Now, that's making China really rich with all the Bitcoins they have in China. But I'm hoping as an American that the electricity efficient coins will overtake Bitcoin, which are mostly American projects. American inventors, and one that particular that looks promising, although I'm not a financial advisor, this is not investment advice, I'm just saying what I see as a good possibility, is a new version of Ethereum that does not use the millions of mining machines worldwide using up electricity, called Pulse, P-U-L-S-E, like pulse on your wrist. So So Pulse Chain. Now, there is another coin called Pulse that's been around for years, but it's not that one. It's a new one coming out probably December 2nd or soon. It's in beta testing now. It's 4 times faster than Ethereum. It is electricity efficient, using actually about a millionth of the electricity that Ethereum uses, the square root of 1% of the electricity use, with a different technique called proof of stake. Now, Bitcoin in 2009 pioneered the proof of work technique, whereby the computers compete with each other, and the one that accomplishes the work, which actually is just basically guessing a random number between one and like a gazillion, gets the opportunity to process the next 10 minutes worth of transactions, which are just buying and selling things or trading coins. That's a transaction. So they're organized into blocks. So every 10 minutes, they call those thousands of transactions. Here's one block. Okay, and then that gets validated. And then all the miners agree, yes, that is, all those calculations are correct. And then you go on to the next block. Why they call it blockchain. But at the beginning of Bitcoin, you could participate and process transactions on your own home computer. Well, and then there were specialized devices that were created called ASICs, A-S-I-C, they were dedicated computers. And then you had to get a better one. Then you had to get a better one to compete and be able to actually mine Bitcoin and participate in the processing of transactions. But now it's become so competitive that we're competing with huge warehouses, many of them in China, who have thousands of machines constantly calculating. But with the proof of stake technique, a far fewer number of mining machines are required to achieve the security and unhackability of the network. The basic idea is that there's strength in numbers. Although a hacker may be able to hack one computer, or maybe a few at a time, they could not, within the 10 minutes, hack hundreds or thousands of computers. So the majority majority of machines that are validating the transactions win. So if we're over 51% of the transactions, say, okay, let's say I sent Dr. Fetzer some Bitcoin. So that would be one transaction. But if some hacker, maybe Lenny Posner trying to hack in and make it not send, then he would be outvoted, and his version of what the transactions are not in sync with what 99.999% of the machines say is the transaction. So if that helps. So with the proof of work technique, it works by 51% majority rules over the validity of the transactions in a block. And with the delegated proof of stake technique, it uses fewer machines, but they are run by people who have a stake in the coin. That's why it's called proof of stake. So in order to be, now to be a miner in Bitcoin, just anybody could buy a machine. I bought machines from, actually they were invented in China. At that time, I bought them for about $125 for one Bitcoin. That was when Bitcoin was $125. And I was a little nervous buying the machines from China. Are they really going to send it? But they did. It came a few weeks late, but I did finally get them, and I was able to participate in the transaction processing process called mining, kind of like that's from the term mining gold. You're mining digital gold, digital currency. Until the electricity costs got too high, and I had to, where it wasn't worth it. But now the competition is so great, it's very hard for anybody and the individual to mine Bitcoin. Now, in the delegated proof of stake technique, miners work like a guild that for the benefit of the coin, for the profession. You know, just like shop owners, shoemakers guild would stick together, and if one of them was making bad shoes, they would be kicked out of the guild. Or like the law, the bar association in each city. So if there's an attorney who was a little shady, he would get kicked out of the bar association. So with proof of stake, a group of miners for a coin would be kind of in competition, but they're also cooperating for the benefit of the coin. So that technique has worked out very well in that you don't need so many. You don't need a million miners, mining machines like Bitcoin has over a million mining machines out there cranking away at the Bitcoin algorithm. But like 10,000 machines and far less use of electricity. Also, with delegated proof of stake, all the transactions are being done, all the calculations are being done for processing transactions. In the proof of work technique, where the miners are competing, only one of them kind of wins the prize, wins the, at this point, about 6.25 Bitcoin at a time, if you guess the number, if that machine guesses the number between one and gazillion. And then all the other work that the others have done, 99.9999, all that work, all that electricity use was for nothing. They got nothing. It's a big waste. Some people call it proof of waste technique, POW. Instead of proof of work, proof of waste. Yeah, it's kind of, but it was the first foray into digital currency, invented by the Satoshi Nakamoto, or I contest it was Americans, Nick Szabo and Hal Finney, to create a way of transacting that does not require a bank. There's nobody can stop you from paying someone with digital currency. They can't cancel your credit card. They can't refuse to process a check. You pay someone, and it's transcends the any influence of the government or the bank. So it's a true person-to-person, peer-to-peer digital cash technique. Now, whether Bitcoin was, at the beginning, it was envisioned that Bitcoin would be able to be used in shops, but the 10-minute wait time is just too long. You can't go to a store and say, okay, I'm going to pay by Bitcoin. I'm going to buy an Apple. And then it takes 10 minutes for that next transaction block to be validated. Yeah, that's just unacceptable. Ethereum is better. They got it down to 13 seconds. But still, if you're at Walmart, there's a big line, and you're paying with Ethereum, and you got to wait for 13 seconds, people are going to get impatient. The tests of Pulse are proving that it's within 3 seconds. So that is getting to the point where a digital currency could compete with MasterCard and Visa, which also take, a few seconds, about 3 seconds, to confirm a credit card transaction with the Visa network or the MasterCard network. So I think that a fast coin that is an electricity efficient that handles more transactions per second, I think there's going to be a winner. Now, Pulse is invented by a billionaire developer Richard Hart, who himself used to mine Bitcoins on his own personal computer, at the time when if his machine, you know, guessed the right number or won the block, he would get 50 at a time. So he's got a lot of Bitcoin from the early days. And his development team developed another coin called Hex, H-E-X, in about almost 2 years ago, on December 2019, which has gone up. You know, the coins start at around zero and then 0.00001 penny and then 0.00001 dollar, and then they go up from there. It's up to about 22 cents now, which may not sound like a lot, but if you started at 0.00001, you made a lot of money. So there are many happy Hex owners. They laughingly call themselves Hexicans, who are paying off their student loans and buying houses and doing very well. So if you find the right coin that has a future, you didn't really miss the boat. If you weren't involved with Bitcoin or Ethereum at the beginning, there's room for improvement, technological improvement, and particularly as people become more electricity conscious, energy conscious, you know, the coins that will do the same work to provide unhackability and network security with less electricity, I think are bound to succeed. So
Rick, these coins have been less
and accomplish more.
This has been simply sensational. Your timing's exquisite. We're coming up to the break. I want to announce everyone to welcome to call in with questions for Rick or for me. 540-352-4452. 540-352-4452. Mitchell will handle your call. We'll be back right after the break with Rick Shattuck about Bitcoin, digital currency, and a host of political issues of great importance today. We'll see you after the break.
Like to take a moment to thank the listeners and hosts for all their support that has made Revolution Radio one of the biggest platforms for free speech in an ever-growing dark world of censorship. Unfortunately, this platform for free speech has never been free. We need the support of the people. It is the people like you, yes, you, that keeps the station in the front lines of the battle against tyranny and oppression. Please help support Revolution Radio so free speech will not be silenced in a world that seems to be going deaf to the real truth. With your support, we will be able to become an even bigger pillar of light in a dark world.
Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the planet. Revolution Radio.
join Revolution Radio every Wednesday, 8 p.m. Eastern Time on Studio B for Momentary Zen with host Zen Garcia at freedomslips.com, the People Station.
Even the government admits that 9/11 was a conspiracy. But did you know that it was an inside job, that Osama had nothing to do with it, that the Twin Towers were blown apart by a sophisticated arrangement of mini or micro nukes, that Building 7 collapsed 7 hours later because of explosives planted in the building? Barry Jennings was there. He heard them go off and felt himself stepping over dead people. The U.S. Geological Survey conducted studies of dust gathered from 35 locations in Lower Manhattan and found elements that would not have been there had this not been a nuclear event. Ironically, that means the government's own evidence contradicts the government's official position. 9/11 was brought to us compliments of the CIA, the neocons of the Department of Defense, and the Mossad. Don't let yourself be played. Read America Nuked on 9/11. Available at moonrockbooks.com. That's moonrockbooks.com.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates.
You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
Well, Rick has covered such a breadth of issues here in such a thoughtful fashion. The number 540-352-4452, 540-352-4452. You're welcome to call in about all the issues we've been discussing. Let me invite Mitchell, by the way, to join us, because Mitchell also is a resident of Virginia and has been keeping track of what's been going on there. Mitchell, how would your notes and thoughts compare with those of Rick and me?
Is he on?
Yeah, he'll be here.
Oh, okay. During the
He's telling me his location is a busy location, so he's unable to pick up. We've had various technical issues with a server and so forth. Rick,
well, for me, there was some things I wanted to say to help people get started, because people may say, "Okay, that's fine. You know, delegated proof of stake is better, but how do you get started?" And you know, since 2012, I've been recommending Coinbase.com. Now, I don't have any stock in it, I just find it's a very good company based in San Francisco. The founder, Brian Armstrong, is a good man. They haven't been hacked, although you always have to say yet. Nobody's lost, and they do insure people. So that is a good way to start. And that's how you get started, Dr. Fetzer. Some others, good American companies, and they are, you know, regulated by the government so that they're not going to be fly-by-night exchanges, they're called. You know, like, you know, there are different exchanges or stores where you can buy an apple. You know, you can get it at, you know, Safeway, you can get it at Walmart. You know, these would be places you can buy things. So these are digital coin exchanges where you can buy and sell digital coins. So Coinbase is a good big one. Gemini in New York, founded by the Winklevoss twins. Good guys, Harvard graduates. They were also on an Olympic two-man rowing team, and they call it Gemini because they're twins. And that's a good service. Some others, you may see a lot of ads for eToro, E-T-R-O, and that's a good way to buy and sell coins. However, they do emphasize trading, which I know a lot more people who have lost money by trying to anticipate and beat the market than have gained. So just a caution against trading. I wish, you know, I mined 12 Bitcoins in, you know, my basement on my machines. I just wish I just held on to them. But at some point or other, I felt, aha, I think, it's going to be Chinese New Year. A lot of people might sell their Bitcoin. And so I'm going to anticipate that. And the market went the other way. You know, I thought that the price would go down as, you know, millions of Chinese people sold their Bitcoins. But instead it went up. So I lost money on, you know, trying to short the Bitcoin price. So more people have made money by just simply putting it in a wallet, forgetting about it, like you did, Dr. Fetzer. You called me and said, hey, you know, I've had this Coinbase account for a long time. And you looked in there and it was a pleasant surprise. So there are coins that encourage staking, they call it, which is like putting money in a certificate of deposit and then letting time increase the value of that investment. So HEX is one of those, H-E-X, where you can stake for you could stake for one day if you want, but you know, stake for a day or a week, a month, up to 15 years. And so people have done well with that because the overall market is bound to appreciate, you know, on many of the coins that you see at the top of coinmarketcap.com. And you can see the percentages that they're going up, because as long as the U.S. government is just printing like crazy, printing up dollars like they're paper towels, then a system that doesn't have that arbitrary inflation is bound to do better. So those are ways that you can get involved in digital currency, to find some good coins that make sense and hold on to them. Now, even some coins that don't make sense, like Dogecoin with a doggy icon, there's nothing technologically innovative about the coin. It was just basically a copy of Bitcoin. You know, many have made copycats of Bitcoin. They may call it Bitcoin gold, Bitcoin silver, Bitcoin platinum. You know, and Dogecoin was actually founded just as a joke. And even that coin is doing very well. So anything that's an alternative to the dollar seems to be good. Although I would caution against coins that are rising just because they're a fad. And the Dogecoin did go very high when Elon Musk tweeted about it. And they even joked about it on Saturday Night Live. But as you look at the chart, it went way up and then went way down. So there are some things that are just bubbles. There's an old, you know, from the 1800s, there was this tulip bubble. Everybody was buying tulips, tulip flowers, and then the price went way up and then way down. So you know, we don't want anybody to lose money. But I think the coins that serve a purpose, such as the in lowering fees, the Pulse coin, Pulse chain, will reduce the fees, which have gotten very high with Ethereum because of the high demand for its use. The transaction fees in a digital currency should be just in the pennies, barely noticeable. But Ethereum fees have gotten high in the past 6 months to $5, $10, $20. And it's ridiculous. If you're trying to send someone $10 worth of Ethereum and it costs you $10 to do that. So that just doesn't make sense. That's not what digital currency should be about. It should be you want to send dollars and it costs you like maybe a penny or 2 pennies to do that, much less than what Western Union would charge to send money, you know, anywhere in the world. So that's the demand is there for coins that work fast and have low fees, and developers are making them. And Cardano and Solana are also designed to be very fast. Another one that's up and coming called Hashgraph, H-A-S-H, graph, Hedera Hashgraph, the coin doing well, Polkadot. And when I look at the list of coins, the ones that use the old proof of work technique, which uses a lot of electricity, are still high, but the coins that use proof of stake, where the miners have to have a stake to be a miner, they have to have a stake in the coin, like at least $100,000 worth of the coin to be one of the participants in the mining process. They have to have a good computer center. They have to have good backup power supply. They have to have a fast internet connection in order to qualify as one of the transaction processors. And that model has worked well within the coins, and those type of coins are rising up towards the top of coin market cap. Coin market capitalization, that takes the price and times the number of circulating supply out there, how many people are out there possessing that particular type of coin. So that's just one of the many indicators. Some say that, there are some flaws in that system, but in evaluating which is the best coin, best coin is one that for us is one that we can invest in, and it goes up amazingly. Some have gone up. Well, actually, Bitcoin's gone up from the time it started at a dollar, when Bitcoin was a dollar, and now it's 60,000. It's gone up 60,000 times. Just put $1, hold on to it long enough, and you got $61,000. And some have gone up even faster. But if we have any callers who want to ask questions about digital currency, we have a website, digitalcurrencyassociation.com. Now, that's a long domain name to type out. For short, we also have a-dc.org, association-digitalcurrency.org. And our motto is users helping users for free. So we learn a lot when we help other people learn how to buy digital currency, also how to store it safely. The Digital Currency Association recommends having a hardware device, and there are some of the top hardware devices include Ledger, like a book ledger, ledger.com, L-E-D-G-E-R, Trezor, like to store your treasure, and a Trezor, Trezor.io. And these are, they look like USB devices, and what they, with buttons. So what that provides is security, because no online hacker could press the button for you. So if you're going to send some digital currencies to someone, and you have your wallet secured with a hardware storage device, such as a Ledger or Trezor, or another one is keepkey.com device, and you can order these. They're about $90. If you want to order from the original manufacturer, don't buy a used hardware storage device, because it might have been tampered with in such a way that it would send the coin to the hacker. So, but if you buy them directly from the manufacturer, and they do have Trezors and Ledgers on Amazon, but make sure that the shipper is the original manufacturer, not just some guy in some country somewhere. So, but when you're sending with a hardware storage device, you'll be usually using a website to send somebody some coin, but then it'll ask to confirm, and only you can physically with your thumb press that button to confirm and send. And Rick, that'll help you from losing.
Yeah, it's wonderful.
We don't want anybody to lose any money.
It's wonderful we have all this recorded so that those who want to follow up can listen to it over and over to pick up all the key points you've made here. I'd like to use the time that remains for your reflections on where do the Democrats go from here? I mean, I think they put themselves in a box, and I foresee a wipeout. I think it's going to be the greatest political disaster of modern times in the 2022 That's midterms. Good. I think they're going to be.
It's going to be great.
Their clock is
Finally
going
to
be
see
clean.
Common sense prevail. I just don't understand how did these people get elected, and now we know. Dominion voting machines, blocking all poll counters from watching. You know, I served as a poll watcher in Iowa. We didn't have any problem. I was able to sit within a few feet. I could see if the license plate, driver's license of the person was an Iowa license or not. So we didn't have any problem there. But in some places, in Atlanta, they were blocked because of COVID. They have to stand 100 feet away, and they couldn't even look through the windows. They were boarding up the windows. That's just obviously they had something to hide. And there's some videos. There's one that's done by the by a Georgia election board, and if you go to a tiny URL is a good way to tell people a website that might be hard to explain. Like the YouTube websites, they have all these characters you gotta read. But the tiny URL makes it easy. So it's just that the people want to get the truth out there. So tinyurl.com/ Atlanta vote fraud. Atlanta vote fraud. And actually, you can find a lot of these links. Truthjustice.org is my website where I list a lot of different causes. And on there, I have about the Biden election fraud. And Atlanta vote fraud, after you put tinyurl.com, will take you to the testimony to the Georgia State Senate committee that was investigating that.
Rick, what do you make of the fact that a major American political party would exercise electoral theft on such a humongous scale? I mean, this is so un-American. This is so undemocratic. Absolutely. This is so dictatorial. I mean, it's disgusting to me. And of course, they want to deny it and attack anyone who raises questions about the integrity of the election. But it's grotesque. It's repulsive. Uh-huh. How did they come to this, Rick?
Well, there's been a lowering of collective consciousness through global dumbing, where people are, I think, just on a general scale, just not as smart as people were in the 1960s. And this common sense, people are wondering, you know, which gender they are, and things like that, the powers that be would find it easier to stay in power if the population is dumb. America used to have an IQ over 100. It's 98 now. And through various reasons, it might sound mean, but there are people coming from low IQ countries. You know, Haiti and Somalia, they have the lowest IQ in the world. You can look on the web, IQ by country. And Democrats love it. You know, Democrat politicians seem to love bringing in low IQ people with a smaller brain size into the country who are more likely to be dependent on the government because they can't figure out how to earn a living honestly. Sadly, many turn to crime or selling drugs, but they vote Democrat, so the Democrat leaders love these types of people. So a country should be a place to develop the ideal citizen. So, and everybody has their idea of, you know, what would be an ideal citizen. But to have a culture, which means, you know, to culture people towards higher evolution, you know, faster, better, smarter, stronger people. And this sounds like eugenics. It's not eugenics. It's not getting rid of any people, but favoring people who are more self-sufficient. And I think the Republicans more favor people who are self-sufficient, not government dependent, people who can start businesses, who can learn skills, who can help build companies, make things in America. But there aren't as many of them that we need. The Democrats, they're just about how many warm bodies can we get to vote for me? It doesn't matter if they are literate, if they speak English. They just want more votes for political power, to enjoy their life in Washington, going to the nice restaurants without masks. Of course, they don't wear masks, but everybody else has to wear masks in the restaurants. You know, beautiful homes. You know, Washington has very high, I think it's a high, higher than Beverly Hills, per capita income. They're beautiful $1 million homes around Washington, D.C. And if you even have a townhouse in Washington, D.C., that's worth $1 million now. So it's a place that they love to stay and have their whole life career as a politician, but they need to have the warm bodies at the voting booth. And even they don't need the warm bodies. They just need to be able to manipulate the voting machines. And it makes for a weak country, weak leaders, stupid leaders. I think China is loving it. You know, it may be that they are behind a lot of this. They do create, manufacture a lot of the voting machines and support politicians. Biden and his son Hunter got a lot of support from China to give America stupid leaders. So what a new form of warfare. Don't try to bomb a country, you know, with tanks and ships. Just make that country so ridiculous that it just destroys itself. I think what's happening. We're confusing our youth to make them not like our own country, to want to tear down statues of George Washington, Thomas Jefferson, to destroy the family culture. You know, portraying on media, which China owns a lot of American media, make fathers appear foolish. When I was young, we watched shows like Fathers Knows Best, and which portrayed father as a strong leader of the family. And then there started to be shows like Married with Children, where the father is a goofball. And the mother is always right. And this is propaganda, getting that to the American people. Now, China doesn't have anything like that. You know, they don't ridicule fathers over there.
All in the family being another example.
Yes, right.
From Father Knows Best, All in the Family, to Married with Children. What a trajectory of decadence.
Uh-huh. And, you know, some shows about, you know, the women being the head of the household. So I was able to see that, you know, through my, you know, as growing up and just seeing what was on TV as to how it's teaching people to not be patriotic. Patriotic comes from the Latin pater, father, is like a devotion to our fatherland. And I think, now my wife disagrees with this, but I think the Y chromosome has the leadership capabilities. And that I tell her if women want to be men, be a good woman in this lifetime, have children, and you may reincarnate as a man. You'll get your 23rd chromosome with
well, of course you're talking
larger
about
bodies, larger brains, more inventiveness. Women have invented some things, but the vast majority, over 90%, if you look on the number of patents, and actually a woman did this analysis. That's also on our menassociation.org website. Dr. Sarada is a PhD, and she did a study of who patents. And although there are slightly more females in the United States, men patent inventions, 80% and 20% are female. And if I might say, you know, about 80% are also white as opposed to non-white. So we are the inventors. We may not be the best at basketball, football, but we invent things that the world uses.
Rick, this has just been wonderful having you on. You are so thoughtful and so thorough. I mean, I just have been fascinated by everything you've had to say here today, and I'm just really glad you could join me.
Well, thanks very much. So I can also get a plug in for, I do feel that the twice daily practice of the dialectic, which Plato outlined in the Republic, which I feel is very similar to
Rick, we'll have to get you back to add those further thoughts. I can't thank you enough. This is Jim Fetzer thanking my special guest, Rick Shattuck. For all of you out there, take care of yourself and have a great weekend with your families.
Listening to Revolution Radio.
Como va? This is Giuseppe from the District of Criminals. I pulled some strings and gotten you front row seats to my new show, The Perfect Triangle. Live Friday, 6 to 8 p.m. Eastern Time on Revolution Radio Studio A. The Perfect Triangle is equilateral, three sides of the same length. In an angry, bipolar world, three perfect sides reveal many truths.
Body, mind, and spirit.
Thought, word, and deed.
Conspiracy, propaganda, and truth.
Natural health, allopathic tyranny, and your body.
Freedom, globalism, and sovereign nations.
And so much more. Each week, the Perfect Triangle will blast through fake news lies, champion the natural way and natural law, unravel the Orwellian deceptions of our corrupt government, reveal the satanic evil of globalist banks and transnational corporations. Tune in every Friday, 6 p.m. Eastern, to Revolution Radio Studio A for thoughtful discussions with free thinkers. Your calls are always welcome. The Perfect Triangle with Giuseppe from the District of Criminals. Join me, won't you?
Thank you. This is Thomas, a.k.a. a Mad Painter. I'd like you to join me Monday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for Open Canvas. Don't forget to bring an open mind.
Yes, folks, that's right. Bring an open mind to an open canvas. Again, that is Monday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern. UFOs to government corruption. This is Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. You don't need to expect us. We're already here.
We did not engage in...